The warm air, the sounds of baseball, it's got you thinking about hitting the road. And no matter where your adventures take you, Subaru of Gwinnett has a vehicle to get you there safely and in style. Like the 2024 Subaru Outback, sporting standard symmetrical all-wheel drive and up to 32 miles per gallon. Or the 2024 Subaru Forester, the SUV with a spacious and comfortable interior for everyone you want to bring along. Start your shopping online at SubaruofGwinnett.com, then come see us for a test drive on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth.
Are you working? What kind of work do you do?
This is the Punt and Pass Podcast.
Touchdown! 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 Georgia!
Now here are your hosts, two-time All-American punter Drew Butler.
Drew Butler, leader in the country in punts 49+. See if he booms this one. He does. Wow!
And Rose Bowl, Sugar Bowl, and SEC Championship winning quarterback Jake Fromm.
Flea flicker to get the night started. Downfield looking for Godwin.
Now, with the latest from around the SEC and the world of college football, it's the Punt and Pass Podcast.
Dogs are winners. A national championship for a new generation of Bulldogs.
Victory is mine. Yeah, surprisingly, I've been laying, waiting for your next mistake. I put in work and watch my status escalate.
Your cornballs get stolen.
Welcome in.
Running my plan. I'm the better man. Crazy roar.
To the Punt and Pass Podcast. I'm your host, Drew Butler. Join alongside my co-host, Jake Fromm. Be sure to follow us on social media at Punt and Pass on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Drew Butler. He's at Fromm Jake. PuntandPass.com, the number one destination for all things college football. Jake, it's week 12. What the hell, man? Week 12 already of the college football season. It has flown by. We are a week away from Thanksgiving, which is my favorite holiday of the year. If you've been a Punt and Pass listener, you know that by now. We'll just stay happy. We got some good games to talk about. I got some good news and storylines to go through on Three and Out. We'll get everybody ready for what should be an interesting weekend, because there are a few games that could have serious implications on what is going to happen in the college football playoff final rankings here in just a couple of weeks. But first things first, as always, how are you, brother?
Man, the vibes are good on the Punt and Pass Podcast right now. Cannot believe it's week 12. Like we say almost every week, it is flying by. Thanksgiving is almost here. Got a great slate for the weekend. Can't wait to chop it up.
No doubt. So the Commanders are playing on Thanksgiving in Dallas next week.
In
so
Dallas.
A divisional game. And you guys are home against who this week?
The Giants.
Home against the Giants. So back-to-back divisional games. It's November. That is nut-cutting time in the NFL. That is where paychecks are earned and coaches earn their keep as well. So look, we're all Commanders fans here on the Punt and Pass Podcast. It'll be fun. Listen to that. You will have a podcast be released probably Wednesday next week before Thanksgiving to get everybody released. Then you'll be right there in the mix, dude. Thanksgiving NFL football. Nothing better than that. Okay, let's dive right into Three and Out. And the top storyline first down is the latest college football playoff rankings. I don't know if anybody was very surprised to see what happened this past Tuesday evening when Georgia jumped Ohio State, and the Georgia Bulldogs are now the number one ranked team in the college football playoff after their 52-17 dismantling of a top 10 ranked Ole Miss team a week ago. So they switched places. One, Georgia. Two, Ohio State. Three is Michigan, four, Florida State, five, undefeated Washington, and six, the top one-loss team in the country is Oregon. Right behind them, a one-loss Texas. Right behind Texas, as expected, a one-loss Alabama. Did you expect it? Is Kirby talking about it? Does it mean anything as now the data set with Georgia and Alabama in the SEC championship game? Go take care of business against a top 25 Tennessee in Knoxville on the road. Take care of business against Tech. You should still be sitting there at number one come SEC championship weekend, right, Jake?
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think having the number one spot, I think it does mean something, because you got to go and look at worst case scenarios. Worst case scenario, you drop a game, maybe lose to Alabama in the SEC championship game, and you can still make the argument that you should still be somewhere in the top four. So
that's right.
I think there's an argument there, and I think there is it's a good thing to be number one. Now Kirby can pull out all the stops of everybody having the bullseyes on their backs and all that good stuff. So now he just gets to switch up his messaging a little bit and get him kind of going and kind of all fired up to go play. So you never know what he's going to pull out now.
No, you're absolutely right. And it is a unique challenge to go up to Knoxville on Rocky Top, where you had tons and tons of success, and beat Tennessee. Kirby's already given Tennessee so much love in the press. We'll talk about that when we break down the game, talking about their rushing attack, talking about how Josh Heupel keeps you guessing. They're going to run a high-tempo offense as well. So Georgia, look, I talked about how focused they were on Monday's pod. I think they're going to have to keep that focus on the road and take care of business in a very important game to wrap up their regular season SEC schedule. Not really much to talk about with 2-3 Ohio State and Michigan. They're going to play each other next week. That game's going to be sick. I mean, that game will be so sick. I would expect Harbaugh will be on the sideline. That hearing happens tomorrow, Friday, where he's going to talk to the judge and go in there and essentially defend himself. John Harbaugh, his brother, the head coach of the Baltimore Ravens, came out this week and said, look, they took his cell phone. They took his computer. They got nothing. So he's expecting Jim Harbaugh to get that TRL and be right back on the sidelines, which would just set up such a dramatic matchup between Ohio State. I am looking forward to that one. Keep in mind, that game is in Ann Arbor. Four is Florida State. And here, Jake, I think is an interesting point. Florida State, undefeated in the ACC, stays ranked number four. They have one top 25 win, week one, against LSU. Washington, undefeated Washington, is ranked fifth. They have three top 25 victories, and they're going on the road this weekend for another top 12 game against Oregon State.
Wow.
Are you okay with that? Are you okay with Washington and the Pac-12 kind of being boxed out by Florida State, who only has one top 25 win?
Yeah. Personally, I am okay with it because I like Florida State at four, because to me, they passed the eye test. Now, when you give me those kind of statistics about, well, Florida State's only beaten one top 25 team, Washington has better wins, well, that kind of like asks the question of, well, why was Ohio State ever ranked ahead of Georgia? Why were they number one and Georgia number two?
Great point.
And we all thought it was because Ohio State had the two better wins, right? Because nobody in college football ever believed that Ohio State passed the eye test better than Georgia. So now my question is, well, what is it the committee is putting kind of more in into what box? Like, what do they like more? What do they want to see? I don't know. I just think you have to pick one and choose one and stick with it, because right now they're flip-flopping a little bit to me.
Yeah, they are. They're waffling. And you don't want to see the committee waffle when they have very important decisions to make. And I love talking about it because it is great fodder. Usually it does work itself out, but there are scenarios, as we discussed on Monday, to where this could be a total mess on that selection Sunday of who gets in. What are they going to stand on to say these are the best four teams? You're bringing up an example of the public being able to look back and say, you guys are saying one thing and you're doing another. We don't have any faith in you to put the best four teams in the playoff. Again, I think it will work itself out. Loser of the Big Ten championship game, probably not going in. Possible that loser of the SEC championship game is not going in. Possible that winner of the SEC championship game is not going in. It's fascinating. Louisville will be putting Florida State on big time upset alert in the ACC championship game. They're currently ranked 10th in the country. So we got some doozies coming up conference championship weekend. And speaking of the team that could box out the SEC, Texas, we'll be talking about their matchup this weekend. They got to go to Ames, Iowa, and take on Iowa State at night on the road. Watch out, Longhorns. You've been playing with fire for the past couple of weeks. You better not get burned. You better not get burned. So Georgia, top of the college football playoff ranking. Do you expect anything to happen this weekend that could really throw a wrinkle? Do you think Washington could go down in Corvallis? We'll talk about that in just a little bit, but I feel like that's the one game, Jake, that could really shake things up. Of course, unless Georgia falls to Tennessee.
Yeah, which I personally don't see happening. We can talk about that later. But that Washington-Oregon State matchup is going to be a really, really good football game. And, man, they've been tested a lot this year. And we'll just see if they pass the test of time.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt about it. All right, good stuff. We'll keep tabs on the college football playoff rankings, as we always do right here on Punt and Pass. Let's head to second down and get your calculators out, because this article came out on ESPN and it threw me for a loop. You ready?
I'm ready.
$146 million have been paid to fired Power Five football coaches in the form of buyouts since 2022. Just one short year ago, fired Power Five football coaches in the form of buyouts have been owed $146 million. Jake, that's horrible business. That is such bad business. If you go into any board meeting, if you have to answer to any boss, if you're in charge of any type of accounting, if you're a CFO, if you're a controller, and you have that red letter on your business, that is bad business. $146 million since just one short year ago have been paid out to fired Power Five football coaches in the form of buyouts. I got some other stats here. I'll read them out to you. It makes your head spin. It makes your skin crawl. These guys and their agents have these universities by the you-know-what, and they're not afraid to just shake them down, brother.
That is such an astronomical number to me. I mean, it makes me – like, I guess technically in the right profession, but I need to get to.
Yes, you are. Yeah.
You know, I'm technically in the right profession. You know, I just, you know, whenever the playing days are over, maybe I need to slip into the coaching life. I mean, like that
shit's guaranteed, bro. I mean, they're getting their money. It's
unbelievable.
It really is.
And then let's take a step back from a different perspective here. Like, how much money are the universities making off of college football?
Yes.
If they say, hey, no harm, no foul, they're worth that much. And even if they're not, I don't mind paying him and then also paying another coach the same or more to come in and coach the football team. So there's a lot of money out there to be made in college football. I mean, that's just unbelievable to me. That is a lot and lot of dollars, a lot of zeros, coach.
There's a clear delineation that does need to be made, because you bring up a great point. How much are the universities making? Clearly, college football is the breadwinner in collegiate athletics. That's a known fact. However, coaches, the majority of their salaries are paid for by the athletic association. So that is in the form of donations. That is in the form of the development office hitting the ground and raising funds to utilize on facilities, to utilize on coaches' salaries. So when people say Nick Saban's paid $12 million by Alabama or Kirby Smart is paid $11 million by Georgia and they're quote-unquote the highest paid employees by the state, yeah, they are. But the state, the University of Georgia and the University of Alabama – pay Nick Saban and Kirby Smart a very, very small percentage of their salary. The majority, the lion's share of those salaries are paid for by the athletic association. So in the case of Jimbo Fisher, $76.8 million buyout, Texas A&M athletic director Ross Bjork said, quote, "We will use unrestricted contributions within the 12th Man Foundation for the first one-time payment, and the athletic department will fund the annual payments for the remaining portion by our growing revenues and adjusting our annual operating budget accordingly."
Oh.
Fisher is owed $19.2 million within 60 days, and then he gets paid $7.2 million annually until 2031.
Jimbo 2031?
Fisher, Jimbo Fisher will make $1,095 every hour of every day from right now until 2031, and he doesn't have to lift one finger to get it. That's from at Beating the Bookie on Twitter. Truly unbelievable. And there's no offset clause in his buyout. So Jimmy Sexton, his agent, who's probably going to place the next head coach at Texas A&M, has truly played that athletic department like a fiddle. It's unbelievable. $1,095 per hour every day until 2031. He doesn't even have to do anything. I'll go down the list on some of these other buyouts as well, and then we'll move on. Brian Harsin, last year, buyout, $15.5 million. Scott Frost, Nebraska, buyout, $15 million. Jeff Collin, Georgia Tech, buyout, $11.4 million. Wow. Paul Christ, Wisconsin, buyout, $11 million. Carl Durrell, Colorado, all-time bad hire, buyout, $8.7 million. Herm Edwards, fired from Arizona State, already back on TV at ESPN, buyout, $4.4 million. And just recently, Monday, Zach Arnett at Mississippi State, fired. Here's $4 million in the form of a buyout. This number, $146 million since just last year, does not include the possible dollars owed to Mel Tucker at Michigan State or Pat Fitzgerald at Washington, who were both let go with quote-unquote cause. That, of course, has already been brought to the courts. That could balloon that number even way more than $146 million. And it's being reported that Chip Kelly at UCLA potentially will be fired after this weekend's game against Southern Cal. So there you go.
I'm speechless. I mean, thanks for the insight there. I mean, that was some great, great insight. I had no idea where the actual money was coming from. I think that's really cool to know. And then honestly, man, some of the numbers just make me sick to my stomach because that's just
crazy.
A lot of money.
It's crazy. And I will say, to put a bow on this, I've repeatedly made this statement, being a head football coach at a university is one of the hardest jobs in the country. I mean, you are managing 125 young males who are generally, I'll be kind, not smart. I wasn't either, Jake. I'll just go ahead and say you weren't either when you're 18 to 22. You're just generally not smart. And the 125 of those guys come from different socioeconomic backgrounds. It is an unbelievable job of relationship and personal management, setting expectations, getting people on the same page. So look, they're getting paid handsomely. I don't know if anything's worth giving $80 million until 2031 to not do anything, but that's it.
Yeah, and the only time off that I know that Kirby gets is like a weekend off in July. Dude,
it's crazy. That is crazy.
And it's they do Christmas in July because there is no time off during Christmas time. And that's all it gets.
It's crazy. All right, deep breath. Let's go to third down. The Heisman Trophy race is kind of coming into shape, and I just want to update the odds board. Just give me your general quick thoughts. I think everybody deserves to understand where it stands with 2 weeks left in the regular season. Then, of course, conference championship weekend, people are supposed to vote. The Heisman committee is supposed to make their votes that next Sunday, Selection Sunday. Right now, the odds-on favorite, Oregon quarterback Bo Nix. What a great story. Guy's been playing football forever, transfers from Auburn. Leading the way at plus 110 on the odds board. Right behind him, Jaden Daniels at LSU. He's at plus 350. Michael Penix Jr. at Washington, plus 375. Marvin Harrison Jr. at Ohio State, plus 500. And Carson Beck at Georgia, plus 4,000. So to simplify it, essentially even money on Bo Nix. You bet $100, they'll pay you 110 if he wins. Carson Beck, however, you bet $100 on him, you're getting four bones coming back, dude. $4,000. You think that's right? You think Bo Nix walks away with it? Do you think Jaden Daniels could do anything in the last 2 weeks of the regular season to surpass him? And then you got CJ Stroud saying if Marvin Harrison Jr. doesn't win the Heisman, it's rigged. I mean, come on, bro. Take a seat.
Yeah. We'll start with Bo. Man, love Bo. Love him. Love his family. Love the story. Glad he's having some success out there. And not just some. He's having a lot of success out there. And if he takes this Oregon team over the hump, they win the Pac-12.
Yeah.
Win a college football playoff game. It's his, no doubt, no question about it. Michael Penix, I mean, kind of really same thing. Like, if he wins the Pac-12 and they win a playoff game, it's his, no doubt. So, like, those two guys, to me, in a sense, control their own destiny. Jaden Daniels, like, I think if LSU was having more success this year, I think it would be his. I mean,
7-3, you're right.
Yeah, I just – some of the numbers that he's put up in certain games, like the Alabama game, he just – I mean, he played
– Dude has 30 touchdowns to 4 interceptions.
Yeah, I mean, he's absolutely crazy with the football in his hands. The one I'm not too, like, high on is the Marvin Harrison one. I saw, like, a couple stats where he's at in the standings and some of the receiver categories, like in yards per game, he's like 7th. Catches, he's not very high. Touchdowns, he's, you know, like, he's up there, but he ain't like 1, 2, or 3. To me, he's just like unbelievable talent. Now, you know, disclaimer here, super talented. Oh, yeah. Unbelievable talent.
He will transfer into the NFL day one. Easy. For sure. Yeah.
Easy. Yeah. We'll step on the field for a team and be a playmaker day one. But to me, he's not putting up the stats that a Heisman candidate gets, you know, to earn the Heisman.
Especially at the receiver position. You have to be an absolute game breaker week in and week out.
Like what Devonta Smith did at Alabama was absurd.
Unstoppable. Yeah, he was unstoppable.
Absurd, yeah. So, like, that's the bar for that one. And then, man, Carson, like, it seems like every week in and week out, he's right around that 280 to 320 with a couple touchdowns. Great completion percentage.
Steady Eddie.
Just steady, man.
Any chance that, you know, these guys could throw up on themselves, Carson goes nuts this weekend, does what he needs to do against Tech, and then lights up Alabama, which, you know, I'm just saying that hypothetically. I mean, I'm talking about what it would take for him to not just go to New York, but win the Heisman Trophy. He'd have to go berserk, and the other guys would have to throw up on themselves. Am I right?
Yeah,
is that fair to say?
I agree with you there. I think he's definitely in New York, like at the ceremony, just because he's going to have the opportunity to play big and some games coming up. Like, he's going to get that opportunity and he's going to play well. But yeah, I think it really comes down to what Bo and what Michael Penix do. And if they just basically throw up and cough it up.
Which I wouldn't expect. That Pac-12 title game that Friday night is going to be sick. Looking ahead as well on LSU's schedule, a game that's kind of been known to get funky is LSU-Texas A&M last week of the season. And I just looked, it's at noon in Tigers Stadium. So that's an 11 a.m. local kick the Saturday after Thanksgiving.
Ooh.
What the hell is that? That time slot should be reserved for Georgia Tech. Yeah, I mean – can we just swap those two games? Put Georgia Tech at noon, put LSU Texas A&M at 7:30. And I'm sure that had to do with probably Jimbo getting axed. A&M doesn't have a coach. Their season, but that game has been nutty the past couple of years. So I like your thought process. I think it's Bo's to win right now, which would be a great story. No question about it. We'll keep tabs on that, of course. Hey, guess what I forgot to do at the beginning of the show? Tell you who this episode is presented by. But if you're a longtime listener, you already know. It's Thursday. It's Prize Picks. That's right. This episode of Punt and Pass is presented to you by our awesome longtime partners over at Prize Picks. Prize Picks is the best daily fantasy game on the market. I was on my iPhone the other day. I was scrolling through the App Store. Prize Picks is the number one rated sports app on the entire iOS network. It is insane. That's because it's awesome. All you have to do is download the Prize Picks app. If you use the promo code PUNT, you get a 100% deposit match up to your first $100. That's a free $100 when you deposit $100. Then you can get in there. They've got a full slate of action, college football, college basketball, NBA, NHL. They've got it all. All the sports are happening right now. You can do cross-sport entries, pick 2 to 6 players, predict that they will go more or less than their prize picks stat projection. You can win up to 25x your money, and you're not competing against other people. It's just you versus the projections available. You can make your entry in 60 seconds or less. It's that easy. Prize Picks is safe and offers fast withdrawals. There's nothing better. You already know it by now. The DB3 piece will be supplied Friday afternoon or Saturday morning. It'll be at Punt and Pass on Twitter and Instagram. It'll be at Drew Butler on Twitter and Instagram. Use the promo code PUN. You get a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. Download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com. All right, you ready to go inside the five? We got some pretty decent games to talk about. We will start on Rocky Top. Number one, Georgia, heading up to Knoxville to take on the 18th ranked Tennessee Volunteers. Georgia's a 10-point favorite. The total here, 58.5 points. This is your 3:30 SEC on CBS football game.
I mean, this one's easy for me. Georgia with the points, but
laying the points, right?
Yep. I tell you, Tennessee, they're a different team at home. Mobile quarterback, explosive pass game, and explosive run game. Like, yep. Don't be surprised if they hit us in the mouth, hit us in the mouth early. Just honestly, like every game we've seen the past 4 or 5 weeks, just get hit early. No big deal. Offense goes down and matches it. And they just can't keep up. So this is a 60-minute game. There's going to be some ebbs and flows in this game, probably. But the team's getting hot right now at the right time. And it's just fun watching the boys play.
You bring up a great point. They are a different team at home. Right now, I believe they have like the 4th or 5th longest current home win streak. They've won like 14 straight games at home. Tennessee has.
Wow.
So this is a different atmosphere. I mean, obviously, yeah, they would love nothing more than to ruin Georgia's season, which is tough to say considering Georgia's already in the SEC championship game. But you know, if they win this game, they will rush the field. They will freak out. And they have a very balanced rushing attack. Joe Milton, when he's on, can deliver the ball downfield with the best of them in the entire nation. How will their defense hold up? I think that's a big question. It's very improved from a year ago. That's for sure. Kirby's had a ton of success up there. You specifically have had a ton of success up there, Jake Fromm, singing Rocky Top, walking out of the locker room. But, you know, I think I'll go back to what I said on Monday. This team's so focused. They're focused on the task at hand.
Yep.
Kirby shoots down any discussion of any future aspirations. They are so worried about what they can do today, what they can do on game day, how they can execute their game plan. And I don't think that's any different. They've shown everybody that they elevate their play against the biggest opponents. That atmosphere will be for real. Georgia has dominated in Knoxville in the last 3 trips. They are 3-0 against the spread in Knoxville in their last 3 trips. Their margins of victory, 41 points, 29 points, and 24 points. 4 of the last 5 games between these 2 teams in Knoxville have gone over the total. And just to keep in mind, Georgia has picked it up as of late. They've covered 3 out of their last 5 games. Now, Tennessee's coming off an awful performance at Mizzou. I would definitely expect a bounce-back performance. I think I got to lay the points as well. Lay the 10 points. Georgia's just cruising right now.
Honestly, surprised it's not 10. Greater than 10.
Yeah, like, I think on the road. I mean, it probably like 13 and a half, and you're getting those 3 points baked in there for Tennessee, getting the home field advantage. You brought this up in the pre-show, and I didn't even realize it. What was Eli Drinkwitz doing, the Mizzou head coach, charging Josh Heupel after the game, saying, quote, "We stand on business, Josh." I don't know what that was about. I haven't had the opportunity to look into it, Jake, but that was an interesting move by far.
We stand on business. Yeah, I wish I knew the backstory. I really do, because I think it would be interesting. But just like, you know, like normally there's respect at the end of, you know, when the coaches go up and dap each other up, shake hands. Not that one. That one was a little fiery. Yeah. Mizzou whooped up on them. They completely shut down their running game. Tennessee had less than 100 yards, and they made Tennessee one-dimensional. I know Kirby's looking at the formula, what they did, how they did it. And I think that you'll see a lot of, you know, similarities in the game plan for Georgia as well. So, but to go back to the original topic, I have no idea, man, why that was said, but it would be very interesting to know.
No question about it. All right. So we're both on the same side. Laid the 10 points with Georgia. And with that little tidbit I just gave you, four of the last five games between these two teams in Knoxville have gone over the total. I think I'd lean on the over 58.5 as well.
Yeah.
All right, let's go out west. This will be an awesome game. 7:30 p.m. on ABC. Number 5, Washington, is in Corvallis against the 11th-ranked Oregon State Beavers. How about this? Washington opened as a one-point favorite on the road. This line has swung all the way to Oregon State. Oregon State is now a 2.5-point favorite. The total is 63.5. Jonathan Smith, head coach at Oregon State, bravo to you. He will probably be a hot name up for some of these big, big-time college football head coach openings. DJU in that run game, man, the run game of Oregon State, they've been rocking as well. This is a tough spot for Washington. Washington has not been playing well lately, Jake. In their last six games, they are 1-4-1 against the spread. The favorite has won 10 straight in this matchup, but is just 3-4 against the spread since 2016.
Dude, Oregon State plays Washington this week at home, and then has to turn around and go play at Oregon
yep.
next week. That's rough. Man, they're going to be battle tested. And it's going to be two great games for them. DJ, man. DJU, how about that?
Making it happen, dude.
Going to play in another big-time football game. That's a good point you brought up, too, about Washington. Like, they haven't necessarily played great. Like, their best football game by far was obviously against Oregon at home.
Yep.
And then ever since then, they've just been kind of squeaking by, but that's part of it too. Like learning to deal with adversity and be able to still scratch out a win, even though it's tough when you don't have your best stuff on a certain day. So I think this will be a big test and tell for the Washington football team.
Big time.
Like, can you show up and play your best when your best is needed?
And Kalen DeBoer, the head coach at Washington, is being rumored for the Texas A&M opening and all those kinds of distractions as well.
Yeah, I think this is, in a weird way, going to have a lot of college football playoff implications. You know, like, I think if they play rough in this one, maybe still squeak out a win, I think Oregon's just going to pounce on them when they get that chance in the Pac-12 title game.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that's, I mean, look, you're right. Could Washington limp in to the Pac-12 title game? They're undefeated. I mean, they play Washington State the following week, who's kind of gone off the rails as of late, but that Apple Cup is a huge rivalry as well. So I don't think Washington will be looking forward. Could Oregon State possibly be looking forward with Oregon looming? I don't know. I'll lay 2.5 with Oregon State. I think Corvallis at night should be sick. What do you think? You think Washington's going to squeak it out?
Yeah, I think so. I think they squeak it out. I want them to squeak it out just because I want chaos at the end of this deal.
He wants it all. I love it. I love it. Jake on Washington. Little good one in the SEC here. Florida hitting the road to take on the 9th-ranked Missouri Tigers. Mizzou, an 11.5-point favorite. The total, 58.5. This game is at 7:30 p.m. on ESPN. Florida needs to win their last two games to get bowl eligible. That's crazy to say. The flip side, Mizzou gaining a lot of credit, I would say, from just college football fans in general.
Yep.
They saw them go toe-to-toe with Georgia. They turn around, which I thought there was a letdown spot against Tennessee, laid it on Tennessee. It's a good football team. They've got one loss on the season, and it was a barn burner to LSU. Man, Florida needs one in the worst way. I do not know if they're going to get it, Jake.
Yeah, I wish this was played in the swamp because I'd be leaning a little bit more towards
Florida. Florida's 5-5, so they need one more win against Mizzou or Florida State.
Gosh, that is a tough and tall task for the Gators to win either one of these games. Because to me, I think of Missouri, even though they have that loss to Georgia, I think they're a really, really hot football team coming off that win against Tennessee. They put it on, played really great. But Florida needs one, like you said. Florida just needs one. I think Mizzou wins, but I think Florida gives them their best shot. And so I'll take Florida with the points on this one.
But, yeah, you're taking the 11.5 points, huh?
Yeah. Just because I feel like Florida needs it really bad.
Yeah, if it was in the swamp, it'd be a totally different story. I'm going to go with Mizzou. I mean, this might be the squarest pick on the board, but I'll lay the 11.5 with Missouri. If it was in the swamp, I'd probably go with Florida. But Mizzou, if you're for real, you have to show up again. This is a tough part of the schedule. At Georgia, home versus Tennessee, home versus Florida. It's square. I know it. Eli Drinkwitz says they stand on business. I'll lay the 11.5 with Missouri. All right, let's go to the Big 12, because I think this game could really shock the world. Number 7, Texas, is in Ames, Iowa, at Iowa State. 8 p.m. Fox, cold, windy. Texas is a 7.5 point favorite. The total is 46.5. And to be kind, Texas has been wobbly of late.
Wobbly. I mean, they haven't had their starting quarterback the last couple weeks. He comes back last week, but they still don't play great. I mean, he's got decent stats. I think he threw for 100, threw a touchdown, had an interception, but I don't know. Something's off. Like, this could be a definite upset alert. And I mean, if they lose, they got no chance for the college football playoff, in my opinion.
They're out. Two losses, they're out.
Two losses. Just so many other good teams up there at the top of that list. I don't know, man. This one's tough on me. I want to hear what you have to say.
Yeah, you know, 2 weeks ago, Kansas State, a game where I thought Kansas State was going to win, they almost upset Texas in Austin. Texas wins 33-30. Last week, TCU comes roaring back. Texas gets out of Fort Worth with a 29-26 victory, in which Texas was up 26-0 in that game.
Yeah.
Quinn Ewers is back. This game is at Iowa State. I believe the last time they played in Ames. Let me look at my trusty Phil Steele Bible here.
I love it.
Time they played in Ames, Iowa State beat them.
Let's see. I'm looking at these Iowa State games right now to see.
Yeah, they beat Texas 30-7. They beat Texas 30-7 in 2021. Now, this is a different Texas team, obviously.
Yep.
And last year at Texas, they almost upset them. 24-21, they lost. So I say that to say this. Matt Campbell and the Iowa State Cyclones, they're not afraid. They are not afraid at all. They've actually been playing some pretty good ball as well as of late. Give me the 7.5 points with a home dog at night. That's exactly what I need to make sure that we're going to stay spunky. Iowa State went to BYU, took care of business last week, 45-13. They only lost by 7 to a top 25 ranked Kansas team at home. Give me 7.5 with Iowa State, and do not be surprised if Iowa State wins that football game.
I like it. I'm feeling it too. You have convinced me. I'm all in.
All right.
I'm on board.
I love it. Okay, last game, then we'll get you out of here. It's like the gutter bowl of the SEC. Kentucky at South Carolina. Kentucky's a 1.5 point road favorite. 54.5 is the total. 7:30 p.m. on the SEC network. Both of these teams, both of these coaches need this dub in the worst way, bro.
Who needs it more? I don't know. Like, that's such a great question. I mean, South Carolina, I mean, after all the juice last year when they beat Tennessee and then beat Clemson, they're a 4-6 football team right now. 4-6, you know, and they have a very talented quarterback. Like, they have very good players at the needed positions. So
talking about South Carolina.
Yeah.
Like, that Xavier Leggett guy is a freaking baller.
Yeah. Like, they got good players. So I don't know. I'm leaning towards South Carolina in this game because I just think they need it more. And I'm going to believe in the Beam team a little bit here on this one.
Yeah, these are two teams that I want no part of. Let me just say that right now. I mean, Devin Leary at Kentucky, it kind of a shame the way he's going out. Yeah. So much hope at NC State. Then he transfers. I said he was one of the best returning quarterbacks in the SEC at the beginning of the season. So. That, of course, has not necessarily come to fruition. Kentucky has not gotten the consistency that they've been looking for. South Carolina, could they be looking ahead with Clemson next week? I don't know. I do think South Carolina has better players. Could Ray Davis go crazy? That would be the great equalizer for Kentucky, the running back who went nuts on Florida. South Carolina has won two straight. Let's tip the cap to them. Jacksonville State and Vanderbilt. Great job, Gamecocks.
It wins.
Kentucky lost to Georgia, lost to Mizzou, lost to Tennessee, beats Mississippi State, gets hammered by Alabama. These two teams are not in a good spot. Who is more desperate? I think South Carolina at home. They're 4-6. Give me those points. Another home dog. I'll take 1.5. Jake and I on the same side. If you're really bored and you're flipping around SEC Network, tweet at us and be like, I'm watching Kentucky at South Carolina right now. That does have the makings, though, to be like just a wild off-the-rails game. Yeah. So we're like, we're all tuning in. You know, it's 44-42 late in the game or whatever. So, all right.
Yeah, I believe it.
That is what I think. Week 12 on deck. It's going to be a great weekend. It always is when college football's here. Huge shout out to our partners, Prize Picks. Prize Picks has presented this episode of Punt and Pass to you, and they are the best. Download the Prize Picks app. Use the promo code PUNT. You get a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. It's the best daily fantasy game on the market. All you have to do, pick 2 to 6 players. You can do cross-sport entries as well. Predict that they will go more or less than their Prize Picks stat projection, and you can win up to 25x your money. Again, the DB3 piece, it'll be on social media Friday and Saturday. At Punt and Pass on Twitter and Instagram, at Drew Butler on Twitter and Instagram, and of course, at From Jake as well, puntandpass.com. Go check it out. Jake, I hope you have an awesome weekend. Anything on the way out?
Thanks, man. No, dude, I think I have said all I needed to say. Excited for a great college football weekend, as always.
You know it, brother. Keep it locked in at Punt and Pass. Have an awesome weekend, everybody. We'll be back on Thanksgiving week. You bet your ass. Talk to you. On Monday. See ya.
Yep.
The warm air, the sounds of baseball, it's got you thinking about hitting the road. And no matter where your adventures take you, Subaru of Gwinnett has a vehicle to get you there safely and in style. Like the 2024 Subaru Outback, sporting standard symmetrical all-wheel drive and up to 32 miles per gallon. Or the 2024 Subaru Forester, the SUV with a spacious and comfortable interior for everyone you want to bring along. Start your shopping online at SubaruofGwinnett.com. Then come see us for a test drive on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.